Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I began, Possessing Your Possessions. And we left off yesterday looking at the children of Israel as they were camped at the borders of the Promised Land. They were at the very doors to enter in to the place that God said He had given them. The scripture I've been basing this message is found in Deuteronomy 2:31, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to take possession that you may succeed him and occupy his land." And this is what God is saying. He wanted them to possess what God had already given to them. It was their possession, but they were to go in to possess their possession. So when they were at the doors of the Promised Land, they sent forth spies to search out the land, and they waited around for the spies to return. Sometimes we wait around to see if everything is all right. When God said, He said, go in and possess your possessions. That's what He was telling them. But they sent spies in advance because they wanted to see what kind of land there was. Obviously, they had some inhibitions. They had some fears because they wanted to know what they were getting up against when they went in there. But they said there were great walled cities, there were giants, and they were as grasshoppers in their sight. There was no need to wander in the wilderness, really, for 40 years any more than there is a need for us to wander around in the wilderness of doubt and fear and sickness and disease and oppression. You know, it's strange that of that company, only two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, came out of that whole assembly of people, and they saw the truth. They heard what God was saying. They recognized and realized the meaning of what God was telling them. I have given you the land. He promised that. And sometimes it's the case that the majority has always been in the wrong when it comes to understanding the purposes and the power of God. That was true in the case of Elijah. Remember, the majority were in the wrong when Elijah climbed out Mount Carmel to deliver the word of the Lord to the prophets of Baal. They must have thought he was crazy, and every priest of the grove denounced him as a fool. But God told him, "Go up, Elijah, and possess the mountaintop. I have delivered the king, the priest, and the prophet, and all of the people into your hand. Go up and prepare a fire made of rocks and water, and this day I will deliver the nation into your hand." And obviously, he didn't call for approval from the priests so they could convene and discuss the issue or get their approval. He didn't look around and see if there was someone to back him up. It was he and the Lord. He already had his support. It was Jehovah God, the Lord God Almighty. And he went up those winding trails of Carmel to obey his God. Just think of it. The majority thought he really didn't possess all of his senses. Here was a visible man before them, and he was being motivated by the invisible God of Israel. God had given him the country, and he was on his way to possess it. Beloved, all things are yours. That's what the Word says. That's an amazing thing. That's a sermon in itself. All things are yours. How much is that? I mean, we haven't begun to even scratch the surface of the things God has for us. That's what the Word says. Not will be, but are. There may be giants to fight. There was real opposition. There were cities to be taken, and doubt and fear and the enemies of the soul to resist. God knew that they would have those battles. He knows that we will have these battles, the attacks of the enemy. That's why he said in James 4 and 7, resist the enemy, and he will flee from before you. So we can't sit down spiritually outside the gates and say it can't be done. Who pushed down the walls of Jericho? Who was it that captured Ai and brought ultimate victory to believing Israel? Well, it wasn't the marching hosts of Israel, but it was the captain of the host of the Lord who had appeared to Joshua in the night and had instructed him how to possess his possessions. He said, I have given you this land. Think about that, beloved. All things are yours. No good thing, the scripture says, will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. It says in the New Testament, my God shall supply all your needs. Sometimes we read scripture quickly and we just gloss over, get the sense of it. But that's when you break it down, my God, the subject shall supply something, the verb, the action verb, the object, all of your needs. Your needs, that's the object, and all describes the nature of the need. So that's all needs. And whatever they are, for physical body, for soul, for our spirit, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His grace, beloved, is sufficient all the time. God won't always instantly deliver you out of your trials, but he'll always bring you through it. That's what he did for the children of Israel. He could have just, you know, annihilated all the inhabitants of the land and said, just go right in. You're not going to have any opposition, any trouble. You won't have to battle. Just go in. I've taken care of it for you. But no, he wanted them to partner in this promise he had given them. So they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah said in the 40th chapter, verse 31, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In Hebrew, that kava, it means to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, it implies firmness and a constancy of mind. To expect anything and to wait steadily and patiently until the work is done. The Greek word means to abide under control. So Jesus didn't put up with doubt, and neither should we. Jesus removed the doubt and unbelief by putting the doubters out. Remember, there was times, and even in the apostles, those that were doubting, they removed those who didn't believe and wanted those who wanted to see and believed in seeing the power of God. And so the trials we go through strengthen our faith. They perfect our faith. We're not to give in, beloved, to doubt and fear, thoughts of depression, or be overwhelmed with oppression, or any such thing that the enemy would bring against us. Because just as there were adversaries in Canaan, there were giants, beloved, that's why they were afraid to go in. We know the account is true. There's a specific account given in the Word of God about David, who single-handedly, when the whole of Israel was, the army was trembling in their boots because Goliath was challenging them, threatening them, and only he, with the power of God behind him, with five smooth stones and a slingshot, he ran toward the enemy. And beloved, this is a beautiful picture of the faith of God, of knowing that God is for us. He's not against us. And we've been given God's holy word. There are holy promises that were told in Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. Jesus conquered Satan at Calvary, and he has given God, his people, authority and power over all the power of the enemy. That's Luke 10 and 19. And over all the trials that the enemy would bring your way. When Jesus defeated Satan at Calvary, he broke all of Satan's power over God's children. And that includes not only sin, temptation, but bad habits, anything that would prevent you from walking in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the moments that remain, I'm just going to stop right here, and I'm going to pray, because the enemy is a serious foe. He's an adversary, and he does not want you to possess your possessions. In fact, when the spies went in, they saw how fortified the cities were. They saw how large the inhabitants were, and going by sight, by vision, that broke their faith. They really questioned if they could possibly do it. Only Joshua and Caleb saw that they had God with them, and they could were well able to take the land. That's what they said. And so, Father, we come to you, and Lord, we're asking, you know our hearts, we want so much to receive everything you have for us. And Lord, we just take authority over the doubts, the fears, the oppression, the unbelief the enemy would bring. We resist him. Lord, your word says, as we're submitted to God and we resist the enemy, he will flee from before us. So Satan, flee in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you who began a good work in us, you who authored our faith, you're going to complete it. And Father, we're thanking you and praising you that we are going to walk in the fullness of our inheritance that you have provided for your children in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it. Praise God. Well, it's a wonderful thing to realize that God intends, not only has he given us anything, but he demands a response from our heart. Now, if someone's going to give you something, you have to reach out your hand to receive it. Well, he wants our actions, our works, to back up what he has promised us, and he will give us our land. It's a wonderful and exciting prospect. There's adventures before us, beloved, as we begin to possess our possessions. Praise God. Well, I will continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. The announcer will give our contact information. If you need prayer, I counsel you to write. I will personally pray and answer your mail, and no one else answers or reads the letters but myself. So I invite you to write. The announcer will tell you how to contact me by writing or by email. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.